Awesome. So this morning, the wonderful task of talking about Pontius Pilate and the suffering of Jesus. And so our creed, it is our creed. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And today we're going to focus on suffered under Pontius Pilate. And I've gone with this lovely sermon title of Who Pilots You Through the Turbulence of Life? Who pilots you through the turbulence of life? I don't need a show of hands to confirm that question, or it's actually just a statement. We all experience suffering and turbulence in life. Turbulence, the word, it can mean conflict or confusion, turmoil, instability, upheaval. That sounds like the world before God spoke, before the Spirit hovered over the waters. It was chaotic. It was turbulent. Oftentimes we think of turbulence in an airplane. And I will say, I have not been on an airplane since Carolina won a national championship. And not the last one. Not the last one. And I don't think the one before that. It was in St. Louis. And I got to RDU. And it was post 9/11. And I hadn't been on a plane since 9/11. And boy, it was a little different. And they made me take my shoes off. And I lost the Leatherman. I said, you can keep it because I'm going to St. Louis because we're going to the national championship game. And they won. And it was a wonderful experience for me. It was a little turbulent just to get to St. Louis. I didn't experience any turbulence in the air. There are actually, you know that, of course, there's standards of turbulence. There's what they have, slight, moderate, or light, moderate, severe, and extreme turbulence. Four categories, right? Slight turbulence is slight erratic changes in altitude, I love this part, and or attitude. Slight erratic. Is that even possible to be slight and erratic? Slight erratic changes in altitude or attitude. And all the way to the extreme measures of violent, and it's practically impossible to control the aircraft, and there may be structural damage. And they talk about how tight the seatbelt appears due to the turbulence. And there's signs for turbulence. There's different types of turbulence, what causes. Four categories of turbulence. You got your mechanical turbulence. This is caused by objects. It could be mountains, right? Or it could be buildings. You've got thermal or convective. So this is like heat produced. You've got frontal, like you've got a cold front come in, warm and a cold front. And you have wind shear. Let me tell you something. That sounds like life to me. mechanical. You have objects that create turbulence in your life. They could be situations, or they could just be people. The heat might get turned up in your life, right? You might be confronted with certain situations where there is wind shear. Things are just going in total different directions. Well, I'm here to tell you that suffering is not the antithesis of joy. Suffering is not the antithesis of joy. Joy is the end of the road of suffering. Suffering leads to joy. We cannot sing the song, "Then Came the Morning," if it were not for suffering. How can a night be so long if the joy is not in the morning? Because today, we're going to zoom in on suffering under Pontius Pilate. And one thing is, like, why is this guy Pontius Pilate even, like, why is he so, like, important that he's even listed in the creed? I think that's a valid question. I mean, how would you like to be like oh yeah, that's my great grandfather. I got one of those leaves on my tree, Pontius Pilate. Yeah. Well, there's a great hymn in our hymnal. We've sung it before, and it is, "In Christ there is no east or west." Now, I'm going to go ahead and just let the cat out of the bag and go ahead and tell you that, believe it or not, in some traditions, this is our creed, okay? In some traditions, Pontius Pilate is a saint. True story. In many of the Eastern churches, Pontius Pilate has been canonized. He is recognized as a saint. He and his wife. I got your attention now, right? Let me just say, if you want a take-home line from today, within this message that I'm trying to deliver of, like, who pilots you through the turbulence of life, I want you to know that Jesus did not fly above the clouds. You see, Jesus descended to us and suffered under Pontius Pilate. So let's jump into Isaiah. Isaiah, this is the classic text we know as the suffering servant. We'll start in chapter 52. I am going to read some scripture today. I hope that's not offensive to you. "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and greatly exalted, just as many were appalled at you. His appearance was so disfigured that he did not even look like a man. His form did not resemble a human being." He wasn't born that way. "He had no form or splendor that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like one people turned away from him. He was despised and we didn't value him. Yet he bore our sickness. He carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We have all gone astray like sheep. We've all turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment. And who considered his fate? For he was cut from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. They made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man at his death. Although he had done no violence and he had not spoken deceitfully. He was innocent. But yet he suffered. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, fully human, fully divine, maker of heaven and earth, who came down, who descended through the clouds into the turbulence, who entered willingly into the upheaval, into the conflict, into the violence and the turmoil. And why? Well, we just learned that. For us, it was our iniquity. It was our transgression. It is our iniquity. It is our transgression, past and present. We have all, like sheep, gone astray. Every one of us. You know, and what a journey it has been preparing for today. Suffering. You know, you think about the story of Joseph, right? The coat of many colors, who's sold into slavery. And then it's because of this that he saves all of Israel. And when his father dies, his brothers make up the story. Like they couldn't stop making up stories after all he'd done. He said, your father told us to tell you not to do evil to us, and you know what Joseph said? He goes, what you have done to me, see, God has taken that suffering that you have inflicted upon me, and he's used it for good. And then they forget all the good things. Egypt forgets all the good things that Joseph had done. Not to save his people, but to save the Egyptians from famine through dreams. And then one day, Moses is walking around and he sees this burning bush. And the Lord speaks to Moses through the bush to take off his sandals because he's standing on holy ground. He says, I have heard the suffering of my people. And Moses leads them out of slavery. You see, Jesus has come down to us. And he is leading us out of our own slavery. Let me tell you something. I have experienced my share of suffering. Now, most of it has been self-inflicted. Okay? Self-inflicted suffering. And this is going to remain PG-13 today, so I'm not going to tell you all the details, okay? Self-inflicted suffering. But there are a lot of times in our lives that we are experiencing this mechanical turbulence where people in our lives, these objects that are creating this turbulence in our lives, that it's not our fault. Just like Jesus. Jesus didn't do anything to deserve what he experienced. And so let's jump over and we'll take a look at Pilate, and we're going to look, I know this is going to be a little bit of reading, but bear with me. It is God's holy word. And I'm going to pick up in chapter 18, and I want you to listen. I want you to listen to the story of what Jesus experiences, and I want you to pay attention to how Pilate interacts, okay? So then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to the governor. That's Pontius Pilate. He's the governor of Judea. He takes him to the headquarters. It was early in the morning. They did not enter the headquarters because it was Passover. They didn't want to be defiled. So they got Pilate to come out. So Pilate comes out and says, "What charge do you bring against this man? If this man weren't a criminal, we wouldn't have handed him over to you. Come on, Pilate, like, get with it." So Pilate, he takes him and he says, why don't you just judge him? And the Jews are like, "Well, it's not legal for us to put anyone to death. So this Jesus' words might be fulfilled, signifying what sort of death he was going to die." Then Pilate went into the headquarters, summoned Jesus, and he said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus responded, "Are you asking me on your own, or has somebody else put you up to this?" And Pilate's like, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest handed you over to me. What have you done? My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, and I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. As it is, my kingdom does not have its origin here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. "You say that I am a king," Jesus replied. "I was born for this." What was he born for? Jesus was born to die for me and you. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, buried, and dead. The good news is, we know the rest of the story. Jesus says, "I was born for this. I have come into this world to this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate says, "What is truth?" Emmanuel, God with us. Truth in the flesh is standing right in front of the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, and he doesn't recognize it. And after he said this, he went out to the Jews again, and he says, "I find no grounds of charging this guy. Like, you have a custom, I release a prisoner." So this is where, like, we have this great, like, plan of Pilate. He's going to release Barabbas. And then they're like, "No, he's going to release Jesus." But no, what do they ask for? They want Barabbas, the revolutionary. They don't want Jesus. They want Jesus to be crucified. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. What's flogging? Good question. Well, it's a whip with bones in it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that hurts. I think that's suffering. You know, you have to, and then it, pow, then it grabs a hold, and then they pull it back, and ouch. Okay, that wasn't enough. So then the soldiers twisted up the crown of thorns, illustration behind me. They put it on his head, and they pushed it down. Then they put the purple robe on him. That was to mock him. So not only did you have physical suffering, but you have emotional suffering. We don't just have physical suffering. We are our whole selves. We are body, mind, and soul. A psychosomatic breakdown is when we have a mental breakdown, and then there are physical maladies that come out from that. We aren't just a mind or a body or a soul for right now, anyway. Hail, King of the Jews. And they were slapping his face. Pilate went out again. And he said, look, I'm bringing outside because I don't find anything wrong. I can't charge him for anything. Then Jesus went out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, here is the man. When the chief priests and the temple police saw him, they shouted, crucify, crucify. Pilate responded, take him and crucify him yourself. I find no grounds for charging him. How many times is Pilate going to say, I can't find anything wrong? We have a law. We've got a few laws, right? And according to that law, he must die because he himself made him what? The Son of God. He didn't make himself the Son of God, right? And in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, his only Son. When Pilate heard the statement, he was even more afraid. He went back into the headquarters and asked Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus did not give him an answer. So Pilate said to them, you're not talking to me? Like, if you just say so, like, I can get you off of this. Just let me know. And this is that moment, like, again, like, if this cup can pass for me, and Jesus has already been through that, right? He knows this is the only way. Jesus says, you've got no authority over me. My authority has come from above. This is why the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin. From that moment, Pilate made every effort to release Jesus. But the Jews shouted, if you release this man, look at the juxtaposition of this. From that moment, Pilate made every effort to release Jesus. But the Jews shouted, if you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Anyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside. He set him down on the judge's bench in a place called the stone pavement. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 19, it is at this very moment where Pilate gets word from his wife that she had a dream, a violent dream, a turbulent dream. I know you've all had dreams like that. We call them nightmares. But I guess this was during the daytime, although it was only 6 in the morning. Don't have anything to do with this righteous man. But what did they do? They crucified him. Now, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 21, you'll find a woman by the name of Claudia. Now, a lot of people want to say, or some scholars would say, that is actually Pilate's wife. And some, how does Pilate become a saint? That Pilate becomes a Christian, and his wife becomes a Christian. Now, there's mixed reviews on that, obviously. In fact, Pilate did some very, very evil things. And there's no doubt about that. But the creed is not asking us whether or not we know what happened to Pilate. The Pilate statement is simply telling us and reminding us that, number one, Jesus suffered. And number two, he suffered under Pontius Pilate that this was real. We have historical evidence of Pontius Pilate. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, buried, and dead. Jesus did not fly above the clouds. God did not wave a magic wand of salvation for you and me. It was by his blood that we are atoned. It is by his blood, by his suffering, that we have a chance to be a child of God. And if you read much of Paul's writings, you're going to see repeatedly where he invites us to share in the sufferings of Christ. In Philippians 3:10, Paul writes, "My goal is to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead." And in 2 Timothy, that same letter where Claudia is mentioned. Now let's just for a second, just for a moment. It's probably hard for us to think about Pilate as a saint. That's not the way we were raised. In Christ, there is no east or west. There is no north or south. We've been pretty divided as a nation from time to time. We're pretty divided as a nation right now. But there's one thing that can unite us. That's Jesus, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, a real suffering. And so 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 through 12. Now let me remind you that Paul says that the sufferings that we experience now are nothing compared to the glory that we will one day experience. This is the same letter where we have those familiar words that I have run the race and I've kept the faith. Think about that. That he has been poured out like a drink offering. But at the beginning of this letter, he says, "So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." This is how it's been made evident to us through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. "For this, for the gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, a teacher, and that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day." So regardless of how turbulent your life may be at times, trust that God is going to lead you through that safely. Who pilots you through the turbulence of life? may I suggest that you let Jesus do the driving. He'll land it safely every time. Amen.
Our hymn of invitation is 626.